In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Christ is in our midst. He was and is and ever shall be. Here we have arrived to this Sunday before the beginning of Great Lent, this great fast. We have come to what is called Forgiveness Sunday. And on this very Sunday, the church also remembers the theme, remembers the event in our history of when Adam was expelled from the Garden of Eden. And so this morning, let's talk a little bit about Adam's expulsion and from paradise, from the Garden of Eden, and talk a little bit about this other theme of today, which is forgiveness. Now, Adam disobeyed God. We know the story of Adam and Eve and how they disobeyed God and partook of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And they were expelled and kept out of the Garden of Eden. And how painful this was for Adam. In fact, in the church hymns that we sang this morning, it said, the church sings, Adam in times of old sat outside the gates of paradise, and remembering the delights that he had there and lost, strikes his forehead, saying, O merciful Lord, have mercy on me who has fallen. And another hymn says, Adam begged God, the creator of all, and even begged paradise itself to open the gates and to not close the gates off to paradise forever. So there is this existential pain that Adam had, and this existential yearning that we all have of losing the Garden of Eden. And we all have this inner yearning, whether we know it or not, whether we know what we are doing or what we do not know what we're doing, of trying to get back into paradise again. And if we can't get back into the Garden of Eden again, then we try and build our own. Man is frantically searching for his way back to paradise. And it underlies everything that one does that in this world, if they are thinking worldly. It underlies everything that we do who are trying to build a new paradise. Even try to build a man-made, man-centered paradise. Throughout history, there have been many movements, from the Tower of Babel to the French Revolution to all kinds of new scientific discoveries and the promise that we will have paradise on earth. Even Karl Marx, when he talked about his vision of communism, what did he talk about? He talked about a workers' paradise, right? And here's something that we need to remember, that the paradise, the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve had, is lost. Whatever we are working towards and God promises Orthodox Christians, it is not to go back to the Garden of Eden that once was, that was on this earth. If it was still there, we would find it. Some archaeologists say it's in Iraq. Some archaeologists say it's in Africa. Some archaeologists say that it's in some place of the earth. We have satellites. If the Garden of Eden was still there, we would see it. So whatever it is that God has promised us, it is different and better than this Garden of Eden that God made for Adam, and Adam left and ruined and was cast out. So what is the truth? The paradise as Adam knew it is lost. When Adam disobeyed God and effectively told God, I reject your paradise, God, and you, and I will build my own paradise, and I will rule my own world, and I will rule myself. Adam said to God, no thank you, and he was expelled from paradise. So what is to be done? How do we go to the heavenly kingdom that God has promised? Not a garden, but a kingdom. to be where God is, to be at God's very side, and to be where Christ is. What is to be done? This is the question of Great Lent. This is what we are studying. This is why Great Lent is called the University of Repentance, the University of how to receive God's, to repent from worldly thinking and the things of the world, to stop building our own false paradises, and to follow God into the heavenly kingdom. Lent is the school of repentance. It is the school of getting ourselves back on the way to follow Christ to the kingdom that he has promised us. What is to be done? First, recall our sinfulness. Recall our disobedience. Turn back and obey Christ our God. He has given us the way, the commandments to paradise. Read the New Testament again and you will hear them and hear and see and read them. True paradise is a gift from God. It's not something that we can make. And we need to base our hope for return to paradise, to the heavenly kingdom, on God's mercy. Happiness, another thing, does not come from material goods, but from communion with God, our Creator, and our life giver. And finally, humility and mercy and compassion and forgiveness, not only what God shows us, but for what we show to every single person out there, is the way. It comprises the way and the door to paradise. So now we have to come to the other theme of today, which is forgiveness. Because paradise and forgiveness go hand in hand. You can't have paradise if you're not forgiven. If you don't forgive others, you can't have paradise. They go hand in hand. Paradise, the Garden of Eden, was lost to Adam because of his self-love, of his self-importance, of his selfishness, because he drove God out of his heart because he no longer had room in his heart for the greed that Adam had for what he thought he could have for himself. So Adam closed his relationship with God, and he restricted his heart space, not for the other, but for himself. He expelled himself out of the kingdom of the Garden of Eden because he lost his way. We can only experience paradise and communion with God and with other people. The way back to paradise is not just God and us, God and me, but God and each other, God and the people that we are related to, God and the people we aren't related to, God and the people who are our enemies, God and the people who we don't even know. All of those people we have to have space for in our hearts if we are going to have space in the kingdom of heaven. Because the truth is, and it's been said in the Old Testament, it's been said in the New Testament, that paradise holds everyone who seeks it. And everyone who wants to repent and go back to God, God will welcome in. We can't be judging people. It says in the epistle from this morning that was beautifully read, St. Paul says, who are we to judge someone who is the servant of another master? We can't be judging anybody, even the people that are so easy to judge. We need to forget about them, and we need to forget about their sins and remember our sins. We need to remember their needs and make their needs the same as our needs. And we need to want for all of them to find the kingdom of heaven as we want to find the kingdom of heaven ourselves. So there's no forgiveness, there's no return to the kingdom of heaven. A forgivelessness paradise is a sham. It's a fraud. It's deigned to be a doomed to be a failure and to be a mirror image of the fallen world where evil still exists and sin exists and death reigns. If we want to have paradise, we must fit all people, and all who enter must fit everyone in their hearts. And I'm going to close with this about our worship here. There's a liturgical point that I'd like to point out, before we sing the kingdom, before we have the great entrance with the gifts, we make our offering with the wine and the bread, and we sing the cherubic hymn, "Let us lay aside all the cares of this life, that we may receive the King of all." That's paradise. That's the kingdom of heaven, is to receive the King of all. And we all sing it together, and we all know the words, and we need to mean the words. But before we say this, I don't know if you know it, I don't know if you can hear it, but the priest, me, I, turn around and come out and say, "Let us forgive those whom we love, and for those who love us, and for those who hate us, let us pray and forgive." The first thing we do before we make this entrance is to forgive. And then the priest, I don't know if you hear this, but I say, "And forgive me, Michael, the unworthy priests, because of my sins, and my sins are many." So before we do anything, we need to forgive each other and mean it. Not just in words, not just in our mind powers, but in our actions and in our intentions. In the way that we make room in our hearts is how we treat one another both here and outside in the world. So let that be our fast. Yes, we fast from food. We fast from things. We fast from food because we are refusing the falsehood that material things can be used to build a new paradise. There are many people out there, and I fall in this myself, that I say this cheeseburger is heavenly, right? We are refusing that idea, whether it be cheeseburgers or whatever it is that we consider to be the signs of having arrived in this life. We haven't arrived until we have forgiven each other and followed our Lord to his true kingdom of heaven.